Welcome to First Christian Church here on a bright, sunny June 12th. It's a little warm this weekend, but that's nice too. So, this morning we ask that you... Hey guys. We ask that you turn off any cell phones, silence your any noisemakers as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to Diane's prelude. Thanks, Diane. This is Diane's second week as pianist for us, and so I'd like to just reintroduce Diane as our new pianist, and also today with her, I'd like to introduce her son, Max, and he's joining us in worship today, too, so welcome to them. We'd also like to welcome back to worship Becky Foster. Paul said he overheard you say that Casper's never looked so good, and I'd like to say seeing you in worship's never looked so good either. We're glad to have you back. We've got announcements in the bulletin. You can see today our pulpit guest is not my fourth grade Sunday school teacher, Nancy Thomas, but as Ted Purvis said, it's my Uncle Buck, or maybe my Uncle Dennis. So we'll be looking forward to the message that Dennis is bringing with us today. Nancy went back to, there was an accident that happened in to one of her members and of her congregation, so she went back home to be with that family. So there are other announcements there to look. There's a registration deadline that's in bold for the women's renewal. We got some save the dates in a big box on there. Tom May has a quick announcement to make.
Hey, Thursday I fly out to Seattle. One of my biggest tournaments I ever bowl in my life. I got more, got a high school sweetheart gonna be there. I got around 4 grandkids and a bunch of great nieces. I think the Sacoma Lanes of Fedway, Washington will be full. This is gonna probably be my last tournament in the PBA, so I'm moving on.
Good job, buddy. And Amber has an announcement to give us a little update from the youth fundraising campaign.
Morning. As you know, yesterday we had our youth group garage sale, which was from 7 to 2. And the profit we made for those hours was $590. And our everything's covered for the trip, and we are so ready to go this trip. And thank you for everyone who has helped us with the donations and coming to our fundraisers. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll just remind you to go ahead and sign those friendship sheets in the pews, pass them down, see who's sitting next to you. And if you're not quick on that, then let's go ahead and stand and shake their hands, and we'll come back together and sing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Would you please join with me in the call to worship? Lord, you call us to gather, to worship, to minister, to serve.
We come to this place to share in fellowship, to bring you our praise.
We gather to be fed and filled, and to be equipped to feed others.
You call us women and men, young and old, to be Christ in the world in need. May this time of worship give you glory and prepare us to minister in your name.
Please pray with me. Lord, you have called us to worship you together. Enter this holy place and be with us as we praise you this morning. Open our eyes so that we may see you working in our world. Open our ears so that we may hear the message you have for us today. And open our hearts to feel the love you have for all of us. We ask that you unite us as your people so that we reflect your brightness even more. Hear us this morning, Lord, as we pray together your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. Our song of praise today is My Life is in You, Lord, and that's in the Chalice Praise Book, the purple book, and it's number 17. At this time, our children are excused to go to VeggieTales with Trisha and Evan today. A little family time back there, Trisha. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll see our prayer concerns for this week. Our card shower today is for Nyla Kazir. Nyla had surgery this past week, and she's home and doing well. Paul has called and visited with her a couple times and says that she's doing well. And so let's even brighten this week for her and shower her with some blessings of cards. Some other prayer concerns. Bill Purvis, Ted Purvis's brother, is in hospice. And so prayers for Bill and prayers for Ted and his family. The Joy, Becky Foster's back, and we continue to pray for Dave and his recovery. And let me know that Shirley Nguyen is having knee surgery this week, and so we pray that that goes well for her. Are there any other prayer concerns that we need to lift up today? Pam?
My mother, she just turned 90 this last month, and
all right. You bet. For those that didn't hear, Pam's mom is moving, who's 90, is moving into assisted living now this week. Any other prayer concerns? Yeah, Randy Sue.
I want to add Wanda Hall on there.
Yes.
I talked to her this morning, and she's on day 5 of not
Yeah, she's been under the weather, and just she's got a lot of things going on in her life, so. Sorry, I'm not as quick a writer as Pastor Cynthia. Any other prayer concerns? No choir hiding back today. Oh, Becky. Thanks, Becky. With that joy, let's lift our prayers to the Lord in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, at this time, we pray to lift our friends and our family to you. We lift up Nyla to you. Bless this card shower today and that it brings her happiness and encouragement. We lift up Bill, Ted's brother. We pray for his family and for those looking over him. We just ask that you wrap your arms around everyone in that family. Lord, we ask that you watch over Shirley Nguyen as she has knee surgery this week. Guide the doctors and give her strength for a great recovery. Lord, be with Pam's mom as she moves into assisted living. And give her strength to make this change a good one. We pray for Wanda Hall. We pray that her illness goes away, and that her spirits are lifted. Lord, we ask that you be with her this week. Lord, we lift up the joy that Becky shares with us about the good in the world. We continue to pray for good recovery for Dave. We're so grateful to have Becky back with us, back home. Lord, we lift up all those affected by the Orlando tragedy. Lord, we lift up prayers of healing and comfort for those who are dealing with illness. We continue to pray for a cure for cancer. And we pray for strength for those who continue to fight long-term sickness. We lift up those with mental disease, and we praise you for caregivers. Shine not a spotlight, but a light of appreciation and love down on those caregivers and their work. We pray for our aging population and for those who cannot make it to church. We pray for comfort and love. May you continue to bless them so that they know they are not alone, and speak to our hearts to continue to reach out to them and visit them so that they know they have a church family that cares for them still. Lord, we pray for hope for those in our lives facing unemployment. Give them strength to move forward and opportunity to share their skills in our economy. We thank you for missionaries who take your word directly to those who need it and those who desire it but are denied it. Continue to watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Evergreen, Colorado. Continue to bless their work. Lastly, we lift up this church here in Casper. Thank you for the blessings you give us, and help us to continue to be a beacon of love and hope in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's week two of summer at First Christian Church in Casper, and that means that at this time of communion, we share by intinction. We at First Christian Church that believe all believers of Christ are welcome at this table. So after we sing our communion hymn, we'll come down the first aisle, you'll take a piece of bread, you'll dip it in the juice, and then return to your seat by the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, we'll bring communion to you. Tithes and offerings can be placed in the trays up here as you come forward. For a meditation today, I found an interesting story. It's called We've Waited All Week. And oftentimes when I hear We've Waited All Week, my mind almost breaks into song for Monday Night Football and how that goes. But today we're challenged by a missionary to think of it differently. A missionary spent his final years serving in Boise, Idaho, his home church. He used to enchant his students at the Boise Bible College with stories of crossing the Himalayan mountains from Tibet to India, or induce tears telling of his family leaving him alone in India for months as he recovered from tuberculosis. Having spent years as a missionary to the people of Tibet, India, Ghana, and Hawaii, he commanded a hearing every time he stood to speak. One Sunday morning at his church, he stood tentatively at the communion table. His then feeble voice was just strong enough for those worshiping to hear his prayer. Lord, we've waited all week to meet you at this table. The tears on his cheeks served as the remainder of his meditation that morning. No one who shared in communion that day had any doubt about its importance. No one left questioning whether it became too common if we did communion every week. No one wondered if the Lord was really present. No one doubted the value of those few moments remembering Jesus. We've waited all week. Have we? Have we even thought about it this week? Would we feel as if something deeply significant was missing if we weren't here right now? Would we miss this moment as much as the missionary would, as much as the Lord would? It isn't as if we've been in the Lord. It isn't as if we haven't been in the Lord's presence this week. It isn't that we haven't thought about God or even talked to Him. It isn't that we're required to be here. It's just simply a matter of the heart. It's the simple matter of what our heart desires most. Lord, we've waited all week to meet you at your table, and we wouldn't have missed it for anything. Our communion hymn this morning is In Remembrance of Me. It's in your hymnal on page 403.
As we approach this table of remembrance and of life-giving power through God's Holy Spirit, we are reminded that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." In like manner, after he had eaten supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for you. Drink of it, each of you." Let us pray.
Gracious, eternal God, we have often wandered far from you. Sometimes, even when we come to this table, our thoughts meander away. O God, help us truly feel the awesomeness of that which we celebrate. Help us to receive this bread and cup with deepest gratitude and joy for our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you please pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for the abundance of blessings in our lives. Help keep our eyes open to recognize them every day. Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts that have been brought forward. You ask that you continue to bless this church so that the use of these gifts may further glorify your name. Amen.
All right, I will be reading from Psalm 15. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 495, but I'm going to be reading from the Bible from up here. So the pages are just a little different. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up reproach against their neighbors. And those wise, the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, found on page 66 in your Pew Bible. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your towns. For in the 6 day the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or a male, or a female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the words of God for the people of God. Amen. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit today about your core. Now, none of us can pick up a magazine, whether it's a women's magazine, a fitness magazine, a men's magazine, an AARP magazine that I get quite often now, or any other kind of magazine. Nor can we search the internet, or when we watch anything on the news, it's hard for us not to hear people talk about your core.
You see, in the old days, your core was this group of muscles right here. And so what people always said is well, in order to strengthen your core, you just needed to do a whole bunch of sit-ups. So as we went through school, we learned how to do sit-ups. And I don't know about the rest of you, but that wasn't my favorite part of the deal in that. And then we kind of went by the deal, and they said, well, sit-ups aren't good for you because it can hurt your lower back. So now we'll move to just doing crunches. But you know, we studied the human body now, and we went along, and we've determined that the core is a series of muscles that kind of go through your whole middle section of your body. So from your chest all the way down. And it's important that we strengthen those core so that we prevent injury. And it allows us to perform and do things that we may not have thought was possible. If you're an athlete like Amanda, John, physical therapist, whatever in that, you know, a strong core will mean that you end up having more stamina, better form on the run, on the bike. If I swim, a strong core is strong in that. It allows me to do the things that I need to do. And if you talk to a physician, they'll tell you that if you work and strengthen your core, it prevents a lot of back injuries, also strengthens everything that goes on. So, it's important that we strengthen our core, that we maintain it, that we work on it every day, so that we can lead a long and useful life, maybe even a life that could be less pain-free. So that's easy to say, is, you know, we got to work on our core every day. But it's hard because you don't want to do it every day. You know, and they always say on TV, you know, only 15 minutes. Or for those of us that were old enough, remember when you used to have to do sit-ups, they had little bands so that you didn't have to do it, you know, with a little battery pack in there, give you a little shock in your midsection to, it was supposed to move your abdomen in and out, you know. All it did was give you a little shock so that you were like, ooh, ooh. And that didn't really help, but it was good for some money. So when we talk about our core, we talk about our strength that allows us to function. So now I want to talk about your core of your spirituality. In the two scriptures you heard this morning, we talked about who could enter the kingdom of God, who was there, who could be allowed into the kingdom of God, and who would always be there. And the book of Psalms so eloquently put it that if you did these things, you would always be invited into heaven, into the kingdom of God. And in Exodus there, we heard where Moses had received the Ten Commandments. He had been given these as the core principles of our religion. They had been etched on stone, and they'd been given to him after a long and dramatic time period that Moses had endured his faith to God. I mean, you really want to think about somebody who had a core principle, a core love for God, and was willing to work his core. Imagine, if you would, that you are Moses, and God comes down to you and says, Moses, I need for you to go to Egypt. I need for you to tell them that, you know, if they don't do this, if they don't let my people go, that there's going to be huge plagues upon you. And I could almost imagine Moses going like, there might be a couple things wrong with that here, God. One, they might kill me. Two, they might make me a slave. But Moses looked back, saw his core, went to him. And we all know about the plagues that hit. And then imagine that now not only have you worked and you've been able to free the slaves, now you go to your people who have been enslaved in the deal and say, hey, gather quickly, gather what you can, and let's go, because we're going to walk from Egypt back up to Israel, back up to Jerusalem. And I can hear the people going, say what? Where are those greyhound chariots that come with the, you know, we step in, they got all the horses, we ride on the way back up there. And can you imagine having to go across when he parts the sea? And at the faith you have to be able to do that. All challenges that we've never seen here. All challenges that meant the difference between life and death. Now, your core values are up here. And you can see them. But what I want you to think about is, do you exercise those core values on a daily basis? Now, your principles are kind of the working part of the deal, of the core values. The core values are there. You have to have principles that say, I'm going to put those into place. I want you to listen very carefully to this next part, because it is very, very important and the major part of this deal. Your principles are not your feelings. Okay? Let me repeat that one more time. Your principles are not your feelings. You know, if you think about it, you have every right to be happy, to be sad, to be frustrated, be angry, upset. Any feelings that you may have, you feel that you've been wronged by somebody or that. But your feelings take you away from your principles. And then if you act on your feelings, more than likely, we've violated our principles. Now, I want you to think this week. No, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to act on it. I want you to do it. I want you to, every day, to think about working your core values that you've got right here. And before you strike out at somebody or something or somebody else, and I want you to think about your principles. Before you act on your emotions. And that's a hard thing to do, I'm asking you. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. It's not going to be something you're going to wake up to. And, you know, it's not going to be like, ooh, I lost 40 pounds today and I acted on my principles. It isn't going to happen. You've got to work at it. You know, as I thought about preparing for this week, I thought, you know what? You got to practice what you preach. And I've thought about it on a daily basis. And it's probably one of the most difficult things I have to do, because I'm so used to acting on my feelings rather than just paying attention to my principles, to my core values. But I will tell you this. If you focus on your core and on your principles rather than your feelings, you will be successful. You will figure out that maybe it's not just about things or other parts that don't relate to you, but that you're actually doing a great thing in this world because you're paying attention to your principles. You're paying attention to the good things that we have. The things that mean the most to us, God's love, God's entrance into his house. Our core values are what keep us going. Our principles are what we show people the love of God as we go forward. I'm asking you today to focus on your core, to focus on your principles, and you will be successful in your quest to be in the kingdom of God. For these are the words of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. This morning our hymn of dedication is number 453 in your hymnal. If there's anyone today that would like to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or to make First Christian Church Casper your church home, I invite you to come up and speak with Dennis and I during our hymn of dedication. Let's stand as we sing. Before we leave, I remind you of a time of fellowship after worship downstairs. Today we show that we are a community of church. Thank you, Dennis, for stepping in and bringing the message today. Thank you, Diane, for beautiful music. Thank you, Paul, for words of institution. Thank you, Pat, for beautiful prayer. Thank you, Diaconate. Thank you, Soundboard. We are a church community, and it takes all of us to make this place great. As we leave this place today, let us go with hearts for service and for love. Service to our Lord and love for all of his people. Amen.